Cougar Cuties.
No, it's not time for the Cougar Cuties. It's time for the entertaining Two Ramblers podcast.
Number one in the A-10.
I'm the host with the jokes, Dobber, from the class of 1994, and he's from the class of 1998. He's the analyst with the attention to detail, and I like to think of him as my little brother, who I was able to beat in one-on-one basketball until 1992, I think. So, Sammy D, welcome in. And you were muted there.
What up, Dobber? Love the new intro, little addition.
Number one in the A-10.
I got to punch that up a little bit, though. It's a little quiet. I got to get...
But wait, in the...
Amplify it.
We'll amplify it down the road, but so good to have it, Alex, last time on the pod, and so good to be back. I know we said on the last episode that this was the last one for 2023, but just felt like there was a lot of things going on this last week. We had a game against Charleston Southern. We had you had an opportunity to go to the SIUE game against Loyola Women, and then we saw, of course, the women play against Iowa yesterday, and so, hey, we're both free here on Friday before Christmas and say, hey, let's jump on. So
yeah, our wives are still at work. So we're taking advantage.
Yes.
For the listener.
So, yeah, excited to be here and excited to break down and talk and riff on some Rambler athletics. So let's get at it.
Okay. Well, I mean, let's start with how I started my week. It was a little crazy, but I looked at that schedule a couple weeks ago and saw that there was an 11 a.m. women's basketball game on Monday morning. And because of my flexible schedule, I kind of arranged some things and was able to get all my stuff done that I needed to by like 10:15. And I jumped in the car and zipped on over to the Gentile Center.
Nice.
And it was field trip.
Is it still the center? I thought it was now the arena.
No, I don't know. Gentile Arena. It's funny. I was walking through, and somewhere on one of the walls, it has quotes around the Joe.
Yeah.
And it's like, you could tell someone was trying to get branded as the Joe, and it just never stuck. So it's the Gentile or, you know, I think. So I still remember Joe Gentile. Remember him coming with his velour sweatsuit?
Yeah.
Velour sweatsuits.
The velour sweatsuit.
He looked like an extra for the Sopranos back then.
He did.
You know, so if you think about a Tony Always Soprano that person, yeah. velour sweatshirt or Uncle Polly or whatever his name was, that's kind of what Joe would wear to every game. So I actually think it would be cool if I could get like a 3X version of one of those sweatsuits and come to a game as Joe Gentile one day. I think that'd be kind of fun. But get the little mustache.
Yes.
So
glasses,
that would, you know, about three people would recognize who I was trying to be.
90s callback.
Big Joe Rambler is probably the only one who would remember what Joe Gentile looks like. So anyway, I made my way into the arena. And I kind of was I still to this day walk in and am turned around when I get in. I think I finally figured out that if you're coming from the parking garage and you walk directly in through Damon's Center and you walk right into the seats, you're in the Wolf Pack.
Right.
So the other side where I had season tickets last year is where, is the other side of the arena. That's where Alex sits and does his thing. Now, what's interesting, the Wolf Pack is where the press sits in front of the Wolf Pack.
Yes.
So
play-by-play guys sit in front of them.
So the Wolf Pack's area was open, and I went down, and there was one Wolf Pack member. Her name's Claude. She's a science major. And nice. She had a final on Saturday, I guess, and had not gone home yet. And so she came to the game. She was on campus still. And so Claude was there, and it was literally me, Claude, and like 40 open seats. So if you see the beginning of the game, if you saw the beginning of the game on TV, you can kind of make out me, and then Claude is sitting next to me, surrounded by open seats. Well, 5 minutes in the game, a middle school shows up and fills every seat around us. So we went from being in kind of the, and we actually were farther apart. Claude and I were farther apart. We realized, oh, we have to band together as adults because we're surrounded by middle schoolers. It's a little weird. So we kind of put some jackets on each side of us. So we didn't have kids sitting next to us, and we kind of, you know, kind of bonded together.
Mr. Can I sit here?
Yeah, it felt a little weird, like being an adult 53-year-old male surrounded by middle school students. There's nothing wrong with it. It just was
nothing wrong with middle school.
It's just very odd. And I just sat here because these seats were open. So I was like third row behind, right at center court, right behind whoever was calling the game for ESPN Plus. So anyway, it was a great vantage point. I had never seen the women play live. I had watched a few games on tape or on ESPN Plus. And the one thing I thought about was pretty crazy was how loud it was. Let me see if I can give you a little sample of this. So it doesn't quite pick it up on my iPhone, but they were playing songs. And when they played certain songs that the kids knew, like they played a Bieber song, the kids knew a Taylor Swift song, they would sing along. Well, that's what I was going to try to find is the, let me see if I can find the Mariah Carey one. Cause that was pretty good. I don't know if I can do this here. I don't hear it. Is it muted? Let's see. No, that's.
Yep, I hear it.
But as there, I mean, you can't quite make it out, but like literally 1,000 kids are singing that song.
Yeah. I totally make that up. That sounds like my van. Sounds like Emma and Elsa in the back of my van.
Right. So, I mean, that was pretty amazing. And they were really into like scoring. When there was a score, they would cheer and they actually didn't really, I don't think, knew that they were at a Loyola game at different points because SIU made some lights out three-pointers and they cheered like the same level.
They're cheering baskets going in.
Three-pointers really sparked them. You know, I think there is something about, you know, Steph Curry and this younger generation. The three is kind of almost as popular as the dunk, and there are no dunks in for the most part, maybe one dunk a year in women's basketball. A couple dunks a year, maybe in the WNBA, but, so there's no dunks. So I think the three is kind of the dunk. And so whenever there was a three, there was a lot of noise, for sure. But the game, really was fun to watch. And I'm kind of sold on this team. I really have bought into this team. I was really disappointed a couple weeks ago when I had a coaching client schedule a call with me during the Northwestern game and then cancel 10 minutes at before tip.
Right.
And so I could have come 2 weeks ago and watched them beat Northwestern, which would have been amazing. But I had to wait. And it was on Big Ten Plus, so I couldn't watch it, which was super annoying. And of course, yeah. The Iowa game is on Big Ten Plus. Anyway, so I did get to finally see them play, and boy, it was really fun to see some of these players.
Who stood out to you? Who was?
Well, one of the people that I was like really cheering for was Sam Galanopoulos. And the reason why is she's from the same town that I live in, Skokie. And yes. So I was
went to the rival high school as your son.
Rival right? high school, yeah. But, you know, it's not that big of a city. And women's right. basketball, we're not known as a women's basketball powerhouse. So the fact that someone came out of our system, our district, is pretty amazing. So yeah. I was cheering for her. She's a grad student. And there was a point where we were down in this game. I think let's see if they show this largest lead by S. Wow, it doesn't say their largest lead. I guess no, they didn't track largest lead. But there was a point where we were down at least 10 points or 8 or 10 points to SIEU. And it started looking a little challenging, like, are we going to be able to catch up with these guys? There were a couple of people on this team who are really good, and a couple of women. And so Sam, I really feel like, kept us in the game. She's kind of like the Braden Norris of this team.
Yeah, she played 39 minutes.
She played, she played 39 minutes. She gets a lot of assists. She really gets the team going. She's even like, I want to say even a little more of a floor leader than Braden Norris. Like there's never a point where she's not involved pretty much with a possession. And she's yelling things out as she's bringing the ball up. She's really the floor general. So, and she's really like pretty tenacious on defense too. I don't know if you saw the Iowa game, but you know, she was covering Caitlin for most of the game.
Yeah.
And, I mean, what a yeoman's task that is. But anyway, she was just, I was rooting for her, and she had an awesome three at one point in the game. She had some great assists, some great defensive plays, eight assists to two turnovers. I mean, I love that. What is it called? That metric. And, you know, she ended up with 13 points. I think she got to the line a couple times, if I'm thinking about it. Yeah. 4 for 4 from the line. So, then here's the crazy part. I thought she was leading us in scoring. And at one point I look up in the third quarter, cause they're a quarter system. I look up in the third quarter, and Alyssa Fisher had 20 points. And so she has a very kind of an understated game, gets to the hoop a lot, very quick, can make a three, makes a big three at the end of the game. So talk about underrated player. Like
makes the three.
The three. Yeah, she makes the three with assist from Sammy G. And a tough three too, like hand in her face.
Yeah, that was the hand in her face.
A couple steps back. I mean, it looked like an NBA three. She was just ice cold the whole game, or not ice cold. We say ice. You know, she was just like ice in her veins.
Ice in her veins.
Yes.
That was.
And then another person I really enjoyed her play was Kika Hajkar. Who the guys in the Iowa game just kept calling Kika, which is sort of weird. So Thorana Kika Hajkar from Iceland. She's another grad student. I think she's a grad student. She came from Iona, and she just has a real great nose for the basket, and just fun to watch. This team, I'm telling you, there's lots of really cool people on this team. Satori Tannen is one of the taller women. Allie Berg was struggling in this game. There was one point where I yelled out, "Allie, we need you." And then, you know, a couple minutes later, she scored a three after being
pointed at you.
Yeah. Well, no, she didn't point at me, but she was 1 for 6. So she got her 1 3, and we needed it. It was when we were trying to, you know, either claw back in or right when we were trying to keep ahead of them. Boy, and that SIEU team, man, they just would not go away. And they ended up tying it late. And right. and that Alyssa Fisher three actually was a tie game when she put that shot up.
Yeah.
So that game winner was really,
if you think about it, the Ramblers were up, I think by like, I want to say 8 with like maybe a couple minutes left. And SIUE came back to tie it, which then allowed Alyssa Fisher to hit the 3 to win it.
So, well, yeah, they had a freshman who in like the fourth quarter just was lights out, Molly Sheehan. And then they had a couple of other players, Ava Stoller and Brianna Woodridge. Woldrich.
Say that fast 10 times.
They were really good. They were just like gym rat type players, like shooting threes. I mean, there were a lot of threes in this game. Let's see. Let me look at it. They were 8 for 17, SIUE, and we were 7 for 28. So a lot of threes were put up. We were struggling with threes. Allie was really struggling with threes. And so we put up a lot more, but it just was a fun game, fast pace. There's just some personalities on this team too, I think. So I don't know. I'm in. I was a little bummed out. My favorite player, was still hurt in this game, getting over a concussion. Chivers. So I was kind of bummed out I didn't get to see her. She did get in the Iowa game though, and so I was excited by that. So anyway, overall it was a great time, and I definitely think it would be cool if we had some Wolfpack games, if we got a lot of fans out to some of these games, because definitely are putting in as much work as the men, and it was fun basketball. A lot of spacing, a lot of ball movement, lot of great passes. A lot of those what do they call them? Not pocket passes. What are the passes where they bounce it off the court? Bounce passes. Yeah, there were a lot of bounce passes. With cutting penetration. So it was just,
yes,
it's just as cool. Like they're, you know, I feel like watching the men play, we're still struggling with some of our chemistry at different points. So a ball is bounced past into the interior and then it gets, you know, it goes off of Phil's feet or it's just in an awkward spot. Whereas Sam G, when she's throwing the ball down low, It's getting to the spot right where it needs to be. And they're all used to getting passes like that. You know, maybe they're a little lower to the ground too. They're not quite these Amazon, guys, like, you know, some of these 6'10 guys or 6'8 guys on the
baby face trees.
Yeah. So I don't know, maybe that makes it easier, but like, I didn't see them fumbling some of those interior passes. And they lead a lot to these, you know, pretty layups. I don't know. It was just a fun game. I know that I've watched different videos about the challenge with the WNBA and like it's struggling to get viewers and it's not quite the same as the NBA. It doesn't have quite the same excitement. But man, I have to say, I was just as excited when we came down the stretch and Alyssa Fisher hit that three. I was excited as any men's Rambler game I've ever been to.
I think that says a lot right there.
Yeah. And so, and in a weird way too, like they're representing us, like you know, as I said, I'm not one of these guys who's rooting for other universities. I don't follow, you know, Northern Iowa or some of these other schools or the Valley. I'm done with all that. I like Loyola. And the cool thing is they have the script on their jerseys and they are Loyola. Like they're 100% a Loyola team. So I'm 100% all in. So I don't know. I know maybe that sounds patronizing, but I have to say I feel bad that I haven't gone to more games because I am, and Janice was like, you're not going to start going to more of these games, are you? I go, I don't know. Maybe a couple more.
Why not?
I want to go to these double headers, right? You know,
the double headers make sense.
Yeah, the doubles header, but I can't get anyone to go with me to the double headers. That's the problem.
Oh, yeah, because then you're talking.
Yeah, I mean, because that game was a long game. I mean, that was like 2 hours, it felt like. So, anyway.
Yeah, I don't know if they have any more of those. Oh, they do. They play it at Dean.
Well,
their schedule, I don't see any more of the.
I'll give a couple of awards out. I know
it's Dauber special.
I'll give a couple of awards out here. Of course, for, you know, Heart and Hustle, it's got to be Sam Galanopoulos. I really felt like she kept us in the game a couple times when things were going south. And then, you know, for the JB Giant play of the game, you got to give Alyssa Fisher for that bucket at the end. And that was a great bucket. Because it put us up by three, and you know, SIUE had kind of a nose for scoring quickly, and I know there was like 4 or 5 seconds left, but I could have easily seen them advance the ball, get a foul, if it was a 2-point play or if we were up by one. So it was up by three, and you know, they get the ball, and I think Molly Sheehan runs it up the court and maybe like a second early chucks it up. She takes another couple steps and then she kind of, I think it gets partially blocked or something. But that three really, you know, if she misses that, we're potentially losing because that team is really good at pushing the ball up and scoring quickly. So it was just a clutch three.
Awesome. Well, and then that led into then Tuesday night. We won this week. Why are you here?
Well, it's kind of that season. 'Tis the season. You know, I thought it's the end of the year. It's probably our last podcast together. So I just thought I would, you know, let you know I'm still here and watching closely, you know. Boy, Charleston Southern, first half, you guys again. What's going on? Boy, what is it about these teams that come in and just shoot lights out the first half?
I think if we could figure that out, we might be put on the coaching staff.
And what's with the lid on the rim for the Ramblers in the first half? I mean, I haven't seen that much brick since Sodom and Gomorrah fell down.
Yeah, good reference
there. Oh, yeah. Well, you know, I like to go Old Testament every once in a while, you know. You know me, I'm old school. Well, Sam, since I'm here, I thought I would just give you a little gift. Before we wrap up for 2023. So could I get some music, Dauber? I'm not hearing anything. Oh, the devil's in the details. I'm dreaming of a hot Christmas. Scalding hot on the Schofield scale. Where you're sweaty and uncomfortable. and getting second degree burns, just like the ones I used to know. Okay, cut it. That's enough. We didn't really work on that bit. Can I get some better writing next time for this bit?
Yes, that'd be nice.
Well, Sam, as you know, I'm getting ready. You got another one of these bye games coming up, and I assume you'll win.
Well, yeah, Central Michigan.
Can't assume anything after Chicago State and the Charleston Southerns game.
The Buccaneers, yeah.
We can't assume that the Central Michigan Chipmunks are going to beat you. But you never know. You'll hear about it if we do.
Prove to be difficult, yes.
But of course, we got the A-10 coming, and I'll be looking closely at how you do. And I'd love to hear some predictions from you in this episode.
Yes, so would I. I'm curious to see how the boys do moving forward in the A-10, and be interesting to see how.
What's your over under, Sam, right now while we're talking oops?
Over under for wins. I'm going to say 10 wins. 10 wins.
In conference.
So it's 10 and 8. I think they go 10 and 8.
I don't know about that. I think Sammy, you know, this is the guy who thought we were going to go undefeated in the Valley in 2021.
that team should have.
Well, Sam, Merry Christmas, and I'll see you in the new year.
Oh, man, I'm messing up all this stuff here. Okay.
You're having too much fun.
Oh, boy, that was fun. Okay. All right, you were saying we're talking about Charleston Southern.
Yeah, Charleston Southern game was one of those games that it's one of those games where it seems like, which is now the new, I don't know what you call it, the new thread for Rambler basketball, is everyone freaks out in the first half, throws out tweets that are just ridiculous, and everyone's the world, you know, the sky is falling, Chicken Little, and then the Ramblers turn on the defense in the second half and cruise to a 13-point victory. And then everyone's still kind of pissed because they didn't cover the 17 points that everyone is now utilizing with the, you know, DraftKings or what ESPN bet. And then they're annoyed by that. So,
yeah, I don't understand how people have such hot takes on this team. I know for a fact no Rambler fan has watched a Charleston Southern game. Right. So the fact that Charleston Southern comes in and has a good half against us, the only thing that Rambler fans have to go off of when they're keyboard warriors and writing their tweets is their record, which was 2-7, not a great record.
Right.
And then of course their KenPom, right? You know, it's like
right.
Their ranking, their net ranking. And so we're getting all in. It's one thing if we know Chicago State and we're like, hey, we should beat them, or Roosevelt, or, you know, someone local that we kind of have a feel for, we play regularly. Oh, yeah, we shouldn't, you know, lose to Chicago State, even though Northwestern did. But, you know, we kind of have an idea. But Charleston Southern, we don't know. It's an unknown entity. So for us to get all high and mighty, like, we should be up by double digits, and how is this happening? It's like, come on. Oh, fire Drew.
Yeah.
Drew should be fired if he loses this game.
Or the one that I've seen a lot, even in text threads, is, I'm done with Drew. Like, what do you mean you're done with
this team is undisciplined, as said by a guy who graduated in 2018. It's like, come on, what do you know about discipline? I mean, come on, seriously. Like, it's like, I don't even get it. I get that we can come out and be cold. Okay, that's a problem. I'm not happy about that. I'm not happy that our shooters are cold the first half. But yeah, at the end of the game, like, what are you going to get bent out of shape that we won by 13? Like,
yeah, and if anything, we were up by almost 20 with like maybe a minute or two left, and they hit a couple buckets and made it to 13. So it's,
yeah,
I just don't get it. I don't understand why people cannot enjoy it. And I had a thought about this, a theory, and correct me if you want, or debate me if you want. But here's my theory. Most of the folks that go to Loyola or have graduated from Loyola tend to be Midwest folks. So their allegiances are, you know, Chicago-based, Detroit-based.
Milwaukee, right? Maybe. St. Louis.
Milwaukee, Indiana. So St. Louis. You know, and so most of those professional teams that they follow, i.e. you go NFL, so we're like the Lions, you know, you could even go Cleveland, so the Browns, you know, the Bears, maybe not the Packers, but like, you know, so it's like most of those teams have been garbage. And or their NBA teams, Detroit, you know, had 1 year where they won the title. I think even before that, but like lately, last 10 years, horrible. You know, Bulls have been horrible. There's, you know, no one in St. Louis, but Pacers have not been really that good. And so it's like you have all of these teams where it's like most of their, you know, baseball, same thing, where like most of their professional teams or fans have been garbage.
Right.
And now they're lumping all of that angst, the fan angst, onto the Ramblers. And because there was this pinnacle height, you know, in 2018 and then subsequently years as well. And now they're not, you know, that they're not meeting up to that. There's like, oh my gosh, the sky is falling. Like, you know, they're just like all of my trash, you know, pro teams. And they don't know how to just enjoy that. Hey, their success, like, cause they weren't around when they saw the Ramblers go 3-24 or the Will Ray years, or, you know, the Jim Whitesell era, or, you know, just like when teams were just absolutely, well, they had Tonner people in the stands.
A perfect example. I'm going to back up your thing. You're dead on here. Perfect example. I don't have the tweet in front of me, but in the Charleston Southern game, one of these keyboard warriors wrote something like, well, you know, Watson and Drew probably gone. I'm like thinking that this is like, you know, Coach Fluce and Ryan Poles, like the Loyola Rambler, the huge booster group at Loyola Ramblers is going to be like, we want to see changes at the AD level. Like, you know, it's a pro mindset, right? Where you just get rid of the coach and get rid of the AD. Like, that doesn't happen in college basketball in mid-majors the way that I think it might happen maybe every once in a while in a blue chip school, and every once in a while, and then obviously in pro sports. Like, Steve Watson's job is not at all. Get it through your head. Steve Watson's job is safe. Yeah, we just secure. Went to the A-10, which was pretty much a big success, going to the A-10. It's rising our level. We've been winning other championships outside of basketball.
Yeah.
Basketball still, I mean, Drew has a winning record.
I know.
Drew has a winning record as a head basketball coach. So, I don't understand. What if we have a misstep against a team from Charleston with a couple ballers, or that kid who got like NCAA Player of the Week, Cardet from Chicago State got Player of the Week in the whole NCAA.
Right.
So we don't think that we could catch a guy on fire one day and not win. I mean, come on. It's never going to happen. And so this is making me, I'm usually a contrarian, right? And here's the problem. I'm a contrarian here. And I'm almost like drinking the Drew-Laid. I think Drew's the greatest coach we've ever had. And I think he's going to take us to places we don't even expect. I think if he keeps recruiting at the level he does, keeps bringing in portal guys, who knows? Who knows?
Yeah, and again, I want to afford him the ability to have put his stamp on this team. He still hasn't done that.
And
it's only been three. It's all year three.
Porter had three losing seasons to start his tenure at Loyola. Boy, and talk about patience, because he wasn't even a head coach when he came to Loyola. He had been a head coach at Illinois State for 4 years. Guess how many winning seasons he had there?
Arkansas something.
Guess how many winning seasons he had at Illinois State?
Donut.
Zero. So in Porter, you know, St. Porter's illustrious career, seven losing seasons before he started winning at Loyola. Seven losing seasons in a row. I don't remember when the Arkansas one was.
Little Rocket.
But was that before Illinois State?
Yeah.
Okay, Illinois State did win there. He did have a couple winning seasons there, but he was at Illinois State for 4 years, didn't have a winning season all 4 years. Then,
right,
he coached as an assistant coach
at St. Louis.
Is that when he with Majerus?
Yeah.
Then he comes up to Loyola, three losing seasons in a row. Well, thank God, you know, the boo birds weren't out on Twitter back then, right? Because we wouldn't have got Porter to get to a Final Four. Because we would have fired him after they lost to UIC.
Yeah.
You know, or we would have fired him because we had an embarrassing loss. And you know, so this idea, and you know who you are out there posting this stuff. I'm getting really angry about this. And so I think, like, if we don't get some people kind of getting back on board with what we're doing here, it's going to be a rough season, not from a win and loss point of view, but from a, like, a Rambler civil war. Cause I can't handle it anymore.
Just some perspective on St. Porter. First two seasons at Loyola, or first three seasons, were all under 500. And even his fourth season, where they ended up being the CBI champion, they were 8-10 in the Missouri Valley that year. And so, you know, they had a losing record the next year, 15-17. They still had a losing record then the following year. They're 18-14. They're 8-10. So it's like, you know, his first 6 seasons first four seasons in the Valley were losing, and then they blew it up in 17 and 18 moving forward. And so it's like, and then, yeah, his first season in the Horizon as the head coach, they were 7-23, 1-17, in the Horizon. That was not the Valley. That was Horizon. So going into the Valley, you know, it did not look pretty at all. And so it's just like, I think we've lost all perspective.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't get it. I don't get this, like, entitlement that thinks that we're this team. And then here's another thing guys are doing. This is a really boring or a really unhappy Christmas episode, but I felt like it was the Grinch who stole a win. Like, I had to work. Right. I had to work on Tuesday night. So I have to watch the game on delay, an hour or so delay. So I'm watching it, and I don't want to look at Twitter. I don't want to find out if we won. I'm watching the game. I didn't like the first half. I wasn't, but even the first half, we tied it at the end, and then they got one last crazy bucket to go up by two. But I mean, we were in control by the end of the first half.
Yeah.
So I wasn't worried. Once we got through that storm in the beginning. But you know, I go on Twitter after the game, after I watch the game, to kind of celebrate. And because of the way the Twitter algorithm works, All the negative tweets are rising to the top because people are reacting or commenting to them. Yeah. Meanwhile, we won by 13. It's like we won by 13, and I'm reading all these tweets about firing Drew and, you know, oh, did you see this school that we're losing to on Wikipedia? I did some research. It's like, come on. It's like ridiculous. And then the thing that is really driving me crazy is guys from outside of our area, A10 bloggers, I don't know, basketball geeks, make a snippy comment about Loyola, and our fans come into the thread and start responding like, someone who lives in Missouri suggested we get rid of Drew suggested that Drew would be gone at the end of the year. And here's a replacement that he thinks would be a good one. Well, Loyola fans, instead of going, what are you talking about? Loyola fans are like, I don't think that would be a good replacement for Drew. They're totally like perpetuating this idea that, we're getting rid of Drew and we're just going to pick a new coach to come in and coach us. What are you talking about? Drew's not going anywhere.
Right. Yeah.
And this has happened a couple times where people are tweeting about us and our own fans are kind of turning the knife inward and getting into these discussions, these hypothetical discussions with people who aren't even Rambler fans.
Exactly.
Again, it's one thing if you're in Twitter spaces after the game with our colleague at Talking Blurs and you kind of suggest, hey, I didn't like the way Drew coached this or that. Or I don't know about Drew and this. It's one thing if you're with Rambler fans and you're talking and it's like,
Or at Bruno's.
But come on. When some, 22-year-old kid who thinks he's a sports reporter at tweets Loyola Rambler Nation, with a hot take about who Drew's replacement should be. And then Rambler alum are just replying like this is completely normal. Ridiculous.
Yeah. So my Christmas wish, Dobber, is for Rambler fans to have perspective and enjoy the team as we see it. And yes, still hold the team accountable. And as evident by the comments made by Coach Drew after the Charleston Southern game, where, again, he's saying things that I enjoy hearing. They're communicating with each other. They are in regular discussions. They're, having fun this week right after the game. They had practice. We got some fun activities. It's like the team is all in. Why are the fans all of a sudden just like jumping ship? Like they're having fun. Yeah, things are not going as, we would like to win by 20 every game. Who wouldn't? But let's be realistic and have perspective and realize, hey, this is a lot of fun. Again, every time we go on the court, we belong there. That was not the case when we were in school. And so let's enjoy this. And yes, I want to see good basketball, as evident as you watched against SIUE and even against Iowa. The women playing against Iowa was like, that was a great game. They were in that the first half.
I remember the words of Sammy D were ringing in my head. Do we deserve to be on the court with Iowa? Before the game, I saw people tweeting like, Iowa. Like, and sure enough, we come out, we're leading. We're actually getting some indirect praise from the Iowa or the Big Ten network, whoever's calling the game. It's like, hey, Loyola's coming out to play here. Oh, Loyola's not backing down from Caitlin, what's her name? And, Loyola's not standing around Iowa with star in their eyes. They're coming to win. Again, they're punching up. And we're that's our history with the men's program, right? Yeah. Punching up. We're playing teams that maybe we shouldn't be playing, but we're playing them at a high level. They were playing them the whole game. That game was a little hard to figure out. We'll come back to the Charleston Southern in a second. That game was a little hard to figure out because there were a lot of fouls for Iowa. It was a real disproportionate Iowa thing. I made a joke that, you know, what did they get the refs from UNI, the Northern, remember those games against UNI who was that one player who just kept going to the line all the time? He was really good. He was supposed to go to the NBA, never did.
No, he went to Milwaukee and he played last year.
He did.
I don't think he's in the league.
Okay. Well, he didn't make AJ Green.
Yes.
AJ Green. Let's get back to Charleston Southern. Hold on. One thing I want to say is this is what annoys me about these tweets is because there's so much toxic tweets, I don't get to enjoy some of the fun things that happen in this game. And again, Two Ramblers podcast is all about, celebrating wins, like having jokes, having fun. So, seeing Dame Adelakun just put his man in the spin cycle, get to the hoop. Just seeing some of those great plays, that alley oop that almost was the last shot of the first half from JQ to Manimal. That was Manimal-esque. That was awesome. A great pass from JQ, too. We can't even celebrate that because we're busy having to put out fires with the Rambler Nation.
Exactly.
And that's annoying. I want to have fun with wins. If we win by a point, I want to be celebrating and laughing and joking.
Exactly.
I don't want to be wringing my hands and firing our coach.
Yeah.
No,
I don't get it.
Why? I mean, if we have a really awful, embarrassing showing against St. Louis, okay, if you want to have some tough talk after the game with some other Rambler fans in Twitter spaces, fine. But going down a few points to a team just because they're hot and we're struggling to shoot, come on. Okay.
Right.
Enough. Yeah, let's give out some awards. Who you got, Sammy?
Sorry, I went down a rabbit hole. I was like, is AJ Green still in the league? And as far as I know it, he played for Milwaukee last year, and I don't think he's signed with anybody now. So. Sorry.
Wow.
Exactly.
I guess he wasn't. I guess in the league he wasn't getting all those fouls called. He didn't get to go to the line 30 times in a game.
Exactly. Hammer Award for that game, the Charleston Southern game, goes to Dame Adelakun. He was phenomenal. I really thoroughly enjoyed watching him play. 12 points in 16 minutes. He's took the team on his back. And it kind of righted the ship. I felt like, 5 of 8 from the field and even, 1 of 2 from, or 1 of 1 from 3, totally shocked the crowd when he went up, shot the 3. He was phenomenal and loved that game. And hopefully there's more of that coming, in the weeks to come, especially as they move into A-10. So thoughts?
Agreed. I mean, he definitely was the difference off the bench. And I also was happy to see some great contributions from Jay Quinn and Patty Mwamba. Yeah,
he was 4 or 5.
Yeah, yep. Patty Mwamba, too.
3 or 4.
Who has definitely a couple times struggled. And so it was cool to see him come in. I was looking at for our bench points here. Bench points 28, and they had bench points 3. Right. So
I think we're one of the top teams in the nation when it comes to bench points, and that just speaks to the depth of the team, which is really good.
Did you see where Drew pulled out 4 guys in one timeout? Mm-hmm. It almost looked like
it was a hockey change.
Or it reminded me of when Jaden was playing travel basketball. Sometimes they would do a full 5-person change.
Yes.
It was pretty amazing to see 4 guys come out. I don't remember who stayed in, maybe Miles, and everyone else swapped. That was definitely cool.
Speaking of Patty, I love the shot fake kind of thinking, but I feel like he's doing that now every time. When you get the ball in the 3, just go up with it. I feel like he's trying to do the shot fake and then step to the side and then kind of, it's just like shoot the ball. I really want to see
I've seen enough of Patty Mwamba to say I don't need him to shoot the three.
Just like one or two times. I'm not saying every time. No,
him and Welch, I don't need to shoot threes. I know that they, you know, every once in a while they're out there and it's just a wide open shot. Miles tried to shoot a three this game.
Yes.
I don't need that. I honestly, I do not need that. What I want to see happen is us to run the offense. I want those guys cutting. I want those guys down low. Yeah. I want those guys getting rebounds, offensive rebounds. I want to see us rotating the ball around, and I want guys like Dez Watson to make threes. I want Braden Norris to make threes. I want Jaden Dawson to make threes. I would love to see Jalen Quinn make some threes. I know that he can make threes.
I know that he can. And I feel like his game, he's still kind of like trying to figure his way. And so there's moments where it's like, I think he's trying to facilitate more than be aggressive. And I would like to see him be a little more aggressive.
I want to see the ball go in the hoop. I am sick of this clanking balls. It kind of reminds me of Kansas Jayhawk. What was it? Kirk Heinrich when he came to the Bulls. I called him Captain Clank. I called him Captain Clank because I felt like whenever he chucked up a three, it's like I could tell it wasn't going in. Meanwhile, you know, when we played Tulsa, it was just like lasers. Lasers were going in three. Even when I saw the women play the other day, you know, Sophia Nolan, I mean, she went 3 for 7. Or no, Emma Nolan went 3 for 7 from three. Man, a couple of those threes just look so pretty. I'm like... Yeah. Can we, or Alyssa Fisher, can we get a couple of those threes every game for our team? Like just pretty threes where it's, you know, cause like the difference between us winning by 13 and winning by like 23 is making two or three more of these 3-point shots.
Agreed.
You know,
Yeah. 4 or 15. That's not acceptable.
Yeah. So I would love to see us
skewed because of the, you know, by Miles, and even Phil was 0 for 2. I felt like he was kind of forcing it, but
yeah, I'd love to see Phil get 1 or 2 a game. I would love to see Braden get 3. I'd love to see Jaden get 2 or 3, and then maybe one of these other guys to get 1. You know, Dez, and then all of a sudden we're cooking with gas because our inside game, I think, has been pretty good this year. Our points from the paint has been pretty good.
Yeah. If you look at it, points of paint, 50 points. So yeah, we could do whatever we wanted on there. But the thing that really kind of hurt us was we were 4 of 15 overall from three. Like 26%. No, I'm sorry. We need 7 or more every game. And
how about this game though? How about how little fouls were called in this game?
Yeah. The Rambers only took 10 foul shots and they took 20. Which is kind of surprising.
I know, right? So that was pretty amazing. I was happy about that. I'm kind of sick of the fouls in this college game. I kind of feel like it's getting ridiculous. You can't play defense anymore. The blocks now, most of the blocks now are called as charge or not charges. They're called blocking fouls. I'm sorry.
Right.
Taking charges now, I feel like 75% of the time goes against the defensive player now. Whereas it used to be 50-50. Now it's like 75-25.
Right.
And even when they take a charge, and it's a real charge like in the old days, the announcers are like, oh, I don't know. I don't think he got to the spot. And blah. It's like, come on. He got to the spot. He just got railroaded by the offensive guy. He got to the spot. Right. So
I don't know if it's still moving just a little bit and a little bit of a shuffle.
It's like, we're going to start playing. You ever see those games when Michael Jordan's in the All-Star game and it's like 150 to 140? Like, are we going to that type of basketball? Because it's so, I don't want
that. That's what the NBA game is doing.
Oh, so horrible. There's times where, and I know this is the transition, but there's times where I feel like there is a offensive rebound there for a Patty Mwamba and or one of these guys, Phil Alston, and almost like without question, the moment the offensive player or the defensive player gets a hand on it, they're turning around and running to get back into defense. And I'm like, I kind of feel like, is that a lost part of the game going up for offensive rebounds?
Well, that was something that Coach Drew mentioned in the post game, was that they're making an effort to get more offensive rebounds. And so I'd be interested to see how that plays out in the weeks to come.
I would love
to have the bodies in order to do it, to crash the boards offensively. But I think that's a holdover from Borders era, where they didn't care about offensive rebounds. They didn't want to give up transition points.
Right.
And so they're going to be like, hey, if we shot it, we're running. And so it's like, all right. So I think because of Porter's era, we did not have the athletes in order to do it. Whereas I think now we have athletes that can go get offensive rebounds. But again, offensive rebounds and rebounding is an effort game. And a position game. And I think Dame kind of has that ability as far as position. And so it's like, I'd be interested to see it. And I think Mwamba as well. And so, I'd be interested to see that.
I would love to see Phil. I'd love to see Pat Mwamba. I'd love to see Dez with his length. I'd love to see them just go take a swipe. Try to get it. Not turn your back and run away miles. That's my thinking. And especially some of those, if we're going to clank threes, if it's going to be a while before we get our three going, let's get a few more offensive boards so we can keep the possession at least. Whereas there's nothing worse than clank and then it's, back on defense.
Yeah.
We tried.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. Well, let's play of the game. Was there a play of the game? I can't even think of one.
I think it's JQ's alley-oop to Phil. I mean, end of the first half, it was somewhat disappointed because then they gave up a crazy – or I'm sorry, they didn't give it up. It was just some crazy end of the half for CSU to then they went up. But it was a phenomenal dunk. I felt that there was a couple of times. Even Miles had a great – follow-up dunk, an offensive rebound dunk. And so there were a number of those.
Drew was not happy with that shot. He came off the court shaking his head and muttering. I wanted to see if he said any choice words because he just had this look like WTF. Exactly. Like how did
that was.
I just don't think he liked the way that ended.
No, he did not.
So that's the kind of funny thing is like as much as these guys are like, Drew's not disciplining these guys enough and this and that. I'm like, Drew was not happy with that performance in that first half. And I don't know how
and he called it out in the post game. He says, this was not when I came in the half, the team, they were not happy with that. And they were the ones that voiced it. And so that was, again, an encouraging thing to hear from him is that this isn't me. This is the guys are calling this out of saying, hey, we need to play better. This is not Loyola basketball. And they righted the ship in the second half. And again, it's like, I think the team is not bad. And they are not far off from really doing well. And we as fans need to recognize that.
Well, and I also think, too, it might look different this year. We might not go crazy from 3-point, but if we can start, doing well in the paint and playing good defense and, just if Phil goes to another level, which he seems to be going to another level after his injury, it's going to be problems for people. We've already seen it be problems for some of these teams we've faced, even the ones we lost to.
Yeah.
I can't imagine after what? When did Phil have 27
against USF?
Yeah, you think the USF coach was super excited about that? Like, oh, yeah, they were probably that was a tough matchup for them, and they won. Right. But I'm sure they weren't like, okay. Right. I mean, they probably weren't content with that. It was probably a pretty big deal that the guy got 27 on him.
Yeah.
So. Anyway, Well, let's couple comments about the women's game at Iowa, which you know, again, I had to follow on the stats, and yeah, there were these too. And this horrific, you know, they had 27 free throw attempts to our 7. I mean, yeah. That's ridiculous. I mean, even if we're giving up some fouls because of height or whatever, it seems that just seems really unbalanced to me.
Well, I, you know, as I watched back the highlight package you posted on Twitter, so thank you very much for doing that, because I'm sorry, I'm not, I don't care, Scott Zudikoff, I'm not going to download Big Ten Plus for, you know, 2 games and pay a stupid fee for that. That's just ridiculous. So I realize you're the play-by-play guy, but I'm questioning your...
With a comped account. With a comped account.
With your background is the Big Ten Plus logo in the background. So, you know, sorry. Not buying it.
I don't have a problem with it. But I have so many streaming things that I already pay for.
Exactly.
And I literally... First of all, I don't think you could buy women's basketball for a month. You had to buy a team package.
Right.
So I would have, you know, I would have had to pay $40 for women's basketball, or I would have had to pay $10 for Northwestern and $10 for Iowa, I think. But, yeah. And it's not going to be an issue because I'm not going to have to worry about it for the rest of the year.
Exactly. So, but as I watched a couple of the, it's like Iowa tended to drive more and get fouled, whereas Loyola was more content with the drive and then the kick out. And so they're shooting more threes. And it seemed as if they were shooting jump shots, and you're not going to get fouled as much on jump shots as you would on driving hoops. And so that's where it seemed like a lot of the fouls were called, which, okay. But yeah, you're right. It is very much a UI versus Loyola at the end of the Missouri Valley kind of feel. I mean, yeah, 21 of 27 and Loyola was 4 of 7.
I don't
care how well you shoot. You're never going to win that game.
Yeah. I mean, we did have 27 points in the paint. So, or 24 points in the paint. So we were in the paint.
But they had 56.
I know. But looking at the game, looking at the game that I went to the other day, I mean, I saw, Kika Hajkar, you know, cutting to the hoop, and Alyssa Fisher going to the hoop a lot. So, and I feel like Satori Tannen in the other game scored more from the paint. I mean, she only went 1 for 1 in this game. And if I look at my other sheet here,
yeah, she was,
I mean, she was 4 for 10, and also 3 for 5 from free throws. So she definitely was getting more, she was probably more fouled putting it back up. Now, I think the difference there is SIUE was a smaller team.
Yes.
And Satori Tannen probably had her hands full with some of those very tall women on Iowa. There were a couple of, you know.
Yeah, they had some.
I mean, obviously, they're number 4 in the country. They're a premier program. They're a premier program.
Yeah. Right. They should be.
So it's hard to match up with that for sure.
But, I mean, you know, Caitlin Cart scored 35 points, and she shot over 50%, you know, from the field. So kudos to her. So, and it's 16, oh my gosh, she had 17 rebounds and 10 assists. So she had a triple double. So she's pretty phenomenal.
Yeah. She's good. I don't know if you saw this, but someone on Twitter put up the best player in every country around the world.
I did see Patrick
Muamba was number 1 for Congo.
Yes.
But who was number 1 for the United States?
Caitlin Clark.
Yeah. And I think there's something to that. I think just seeing her, I mean, she doesn't look that much bigger, but those threes and that, her dimes, and then her rebounds, and how many fouls she drew. I mean, she is just like, she's like Michael Jordan, you know.
Yeah, she had one personal foul.
Well, I don't know how good her defense was. You know, I mean, her defense, her offense is so good. I don't even know if she needs to play defense. I mean,
yeah,
you know, she outshot Loyola at the foul line.
yeah.
So, I mean, yeah, pretty amazing. I will say it was cool. Now, first of all, and this is a really dumb question, I should know this, but are the Nolans on our team related, or is that just a coincidence? Sophia Nolan and Emma Nolan.
I'm gonna claim ignorance and say I don't know.
Well, it was cool to see. I think it was Emma Nolan went 5 for 10. And she didn't play as well against.
Yes, I think they're both from Valparaiso, and they both went to Marriott Catholic. So I gotta assume they're sisters.
Yeah. So
they look exactly alike. Yes. So yes, they're sisters.
If I look at Emma Nolan from Monday, she was 1 for 7. Emma Nolan against Iowa, number 4 team in the country, 5 for 10. And then Sophia Nolan was 3 for 10. And Sophia Nolan was 1 for 2 against SIUE.
UE.
So
the Cougars. I find that ironic.
Yeah. Anyway, it was cool to see her just have some great shots. And do you know what grade they're in?
They are graduates.
Okay, they're graduates too. Dang it. Okay. Well, I'm curious about who do we get back next year of this group? Because it's a pretty exciting group.
We get your girl Kira
Chivers, not my girl, but I'm a fan.
You're a fan.
She's a woman, and I'm a fan of her game.
Audrey Deptula.
Yes.
Who's from Middleton, Wisconsin. And then
we lose Sam Galanopoulos.
And Alyssa Fisher and Kika Hodgkar. She's a senior.
Yeah, I think she's graduating.
I have the feeling that it's going to be Kira and Mallory Ramage.
Ramage? Yeah, Ramage. Yeah.
Ramage.
It's like Rampage, I think.
And then Destiny Jackson, junior out of Fort Wayne. And then Maddie Patroljic from Hudsonville, Michigan. I actually know her, Hudsonville. I wonder if my friend knows her because he's a youth pastor in Hudsonville.
All right. So we need to do our homework with if we're going to do a podcast where we talk about women's hoops, because I need to learn some of these names, and I need to know whether they're – I don't have it on my sheet what grade they're in. So that's
We have a very old team because we have a lot of grad students and seniors. We don't have a lot of young students, so I'll be interested to see how that plays out this year.
Yeah. Well, anyway, I think they're going to be fun to watch this year.
Yes,
and,
agreed.
And after seeing them against Iowa and Northwestern, I think they are going to be a little different in the A-10 this year. I think last year we kind of struggled, and even some of the early A-10 polls – we're like at the bottom, and I think again we're going to surprise some people. And so,
agreed.
I think it's going to be fun.
Looking ahead, so we did not talk about the women in the A-10, but maybe that's for the next podcast. Where are we looking at for them? But for the men moving forward, where has your predictions or expectations for the A-10 season changed at all? I mean, I know that Lou asked me earlier, you know, and I'm going 10 wins. I think I'm holding to 10 wins for the men.
How many games do we have in conference?
I believe it's 18.
Okay. So I guess for me, what I'm hoping for is at least 500 or better. So kind of right where you're at, 9, 10 wins would be exciting for me. Did I mute you?
It is 18. I'm sorry. I'm mouthing counting. So it's 18. Yes, it is okay. 18. I counted it up.
Yeah. And, you know, I think hearing about the A-10 in this non-con It sounds like Fordham is, you know, not having a great year. It sounds like Rhode Island, UMass, St. Louis. So I feel like there's some wins there. But let's not overlook anybody because we are in the A-10.
No, we're not looking over anybody. But I foresee this. Here's the reason I see us getting to 10 wins. We don't lose as much at home. I think we have more of a back to the genteel, you know, home record that's everyone's been accustomed to, you know, where we hold serve at home and then we're 500 on the road. And so then it's like, oh, okay.
I would love to see.
That's how we go to 10 wins.
Here's what I would love to see, though. I would love to see at least two or three games in the A-10 where we jump out to a hot start and just go wire to wire, like the Harvard game.
Yeah. Yeah.
I really don't like us getting down 10-0, 10-2.
Yeah.
The whole first half we're chasing. And then the second half we come out and are a little flat. And then we're chasing again. I hate those games. I want a few of these games where we lock in, we really punish a team for overlooking us, right, and they walk out of the gym, you know, having to go to like Lou Malnati's to get a pizza to feed their feelings. That's what I really want. I want sad A-10 players. I don't have my glasses on. What are you telling me?
2 minutes. Let's go. Let's watch.
By the way, I forgot to have Alex to record this, but I wanted to be like, I want to have 2 minute warning. 2 minute warning, two Ramblers.
Yeah, we got to have him come back in for that.
Yeah, so we'll get him to record that. He's got a setup at home, so I think I might send a couple of choice drops.
Request. Yes. Man, that was so good. I enjoyed having him on Sunday and just hearing him in the Dauber Pound.
Number Dauber one Dauber in the A-10.
What a voice, right? I'm telling you, every time I hear it, I want to like dial down. Hey, how you doing?
Hey, Dauber. Good to talk to you.
You're listening to The Loop. Get the let out.
I love it.
Two for Tuesday. Get the let out.
All right, Dauber, here we go. As we close out for Christmas, what's one tradition your family does that you're looking forward to?
Oh, boy, you really stumped me here. It's funny because I'm making Korean food for Christmas Eve, which is not my tradition.
What are you making? What's on the menu?
Galbi on the grill and then some other stuff. Nice. Stuff.
You know what would be good? If I had that here, it would be, you know, beyond the now I have the gas-fired outdoor kitchen. Oh my God.
Yeah, that would be nice.
Seriously, you got to come down here. You got to try it out. It's so phenomenal.
Well, I'll be thinking about that. But I was going to say a tradition. I don't know if this is a tradition, but I joined the coffee team at church and I'm serving coffee on Christmas Eve, which I think will be fun.
Oh yeah.
Instead of having bagels, which we normally have, we're going to have cookies. So I think it'll be kind of fun to serve coffee on Christmas Eve.
Nice.
Other than that, I don't know if I have that many traditions that I have to make twice baked potatoes for Christmas.
There we go.
Which I feel like
harkens back.
Which I feel like I'm not as invested in that, but everyone else wants it. So it's like, okay, yes. Dauber, start scooping those potatoes. And it's like, I wish my chiropractor was available on Christmas, because after you make all those potatoes, it's just like, man, you're sore. So,
yes. I was.
How about you, Sam? What about you and your family?
My family said, hey, can we order out for Christmas? So we got the Kroger holiday meal plan and the Cracker Barrel pies. So yeah, that's exciting. So going to be very limited cooking this year for us.
For you, right?
Well, I do a little of the cooking. My whole family does. My wife,
okay.
My mother-in-law. And so, but we decided to kind of dial back a notch. The tradition that I enjoy is, when my girls, we set it up for Christmas morning. We still do the Santa thing. And so the girls, when they come down, we basically in a doorway that it leads into where the tree is, we wrap. And so they got to bust through the wrapping paper.
Right. I've seen this on Christmas morning. You send this video and it looks like, it looks like the, you know, the, well, this is going to be a good reference if I can come up with it. It looks like the team in Friday Night Lights.
Yes, you know? Friday Night Lights busted through the tape. Yeah.
I can't remember which one it was. There was the Lions. Remember, he went to the rival high school.
Right.
But what's the main team? The first.
I'm drawing a blank. But anyway, so that's my favorite. That's one of my favorite traditions. Is we come down
the Dillon Panthers.
The Dillon Panthers. There he goes. And so the girls rip through the paper to see Christmas morning. But what I find hilarious about this, the girls have started to, well, they have all these stuffed animals that they've collected over the years. And so they like to have this, include the stuffed animals in the Christmas morning. So they actually make a point of coming down and setting up their animals and then army crawling, you know, around. And so it's like, it's not, although the tradition is them busting through, but it's like, they've already been down to set up their animals.
You got to put the kibosh on that. No animals, no animal crossings. Any animals that they want to participate need to be in place the night before.
Yes. Good point. Oh, that's a good point.
Yes. No animal crossings.
Okay. I'll put that up.
Tell them that anytime, if I hear that there's been army crawling under the paper, they lose a gift. They lose one of Dauber's gifts every time I hear a violation. Uncle Dauber has no mercy. I'll take that stuff. I'll take that Barbie dream house.
So that's my favorite tradition, is them busting through the paper for Christmas morning, because I think it's kind of fun.
I think it's amazing. Well, let's get out of here.
Yes, let's do it. Hit the music.
Number one in the A-10.
You've been listening. Yeah. Wait, am I on mic? I don't even hear myself. I can't tell.
I hear you.
Okay. You sound great. I'm on mic.
Number one in the A-10.
Yes. Okay. Yeah, so for the analyst with the attention to details, Sammy D, I'm the host with the jokes, Dauber, saying to everyone out there, have a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. We will not be back before the December 30th game. And I don't know if we'll get an episode out on New Year's or not. So we'll see.
We'll see.
But Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, and go Ramblers.
Go Ramblers!
Number one in the A-10.